The city that gave birth not just to Motown music, but of course also the iconic car companies.
Detroit emerged from World War II as one of America's great industrial powerhouses with a population of almost 2 million. But since the 1970s, it's been in decline, and last night it became the biggest U.S. city so far to file for bankruptcy.
It is a place that is not a blank slate or a blank canvas, and that no one needs to save Detroit.
I'm John Lewis, and you're listening to 360 Degree City, a podcast where we talk to people who are working to make cities better. Our hope is that after each episode, you'll start to see your own city from a slightly different angle. I visited Detroit for the first time this past summer. It was a bit strange, as I've always felt like I've known Detroit fairly well. When you live in Canada, your TV package includes channels from a certain city in the United States. I grew up in Saskatchewan, and for some reason, our US channels came from Detroit. I knew who the mayor was, I knew how the Pistons were doing, and I knew the names of streets and neighborhoods. In recent years, Detroit has been getting a lot of attention for both the challenges of the city and the innovation that's happening there. I'm fortunate to have a friend who is working to make Detroit better today and help build the leaders of tomorrow.
My name is Shelley Danner, and I am the program director for Challenge Detroit.
The work of Shelley and her colleagues at Challenge Detroit provide a great example of how to develop dynamic urban leaders. Our conversation in this episode provides insights into how we can all think differently about leadership in our cities. Shelley, thanks for joining us today, and I'm excited to continue our historical conversations in podcast form.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Don.
If you could maybe give us a brief background on how you got to Challenge Detroit. What were you doing before you got to Challenge Detroit?
I was working in Washington, D.C. as a management consultant. I'm originally from Michigan and grew up in the Detroit area, but I had left and I was gone from Michigan for about 12 years. And during that time, I went to university. Following that, I moved and worked abroad. And then when I came back to the U.S., I found my way to the East Coast, where I got hired as a management consultant at Accenture in Washington, D.C. And I found my way back to Detroit when I decided to take a sabbatical. So I had really come to a crossroads in my career where I realized that I wanted to do something more meaningful that really felt like I could make an impact and that also felt more creative and innovative. And I didn't really know what I was going to end up doing at the end of that sabbatical. But that is how I got to Challenge Detroit, and I never went back to that consulting job.
In 2008, Challenge Detroit was founded by Doyle Mosher and Deirdre Groves. They both saw the need to attract and retain young talent in Detroit. In early 2012, Deirdre met Shelley at a serendipitous lunch. They had a shared passion for Detroit, and that's when Shelley joined the team.
Can you describe the vision behind Challenge Detroit?
The concept or vision of Challenge Detroit is really looking at talent and building up a professional core in our city. And so this concept is really around attracting and retaining talent. So wanting to keep professionals both in the city that have grown up here or may have left for college but want to come back, as well as people that might not have a root or a tie to Detroit, but feel compelled to be part of Detroit's story. And so we formed a nonprofit with the intention of designing a program that would both attract and keep talent in Detroit and create jobs, but also to really have an impact, a positive impact in the community.
Could you maybe talk about the story of Detroit? I know you and I have talked about this in the past, that there seems to be two streams of narrative about the city. One is it's a place of decline, and another it's a place of renewal. And just wondering if you could maybe talk about those two narratives and what life is like in the city on a day-to-day basis from someone that lives there and is help building the future of the community.
Absolutely. It's I would say it's very true that there are these two tails, and something that is really meaningful to me is to be helping change perceptions or clarify perceptions about Detroit, and to help others see that it is a place that is not a blank slate or a blank canvas, and that no one needs to save Detroit, that there are people that have been here through all of the hard times that are still here and really helped pave the way, as well as the others that have come back or have shown interest and have really been instrumental as well. So I see the tale as being really important, to tell the collaborative tale. And yes, Detroit has experienced decline. And when I was growing up here, that was the very dominant narrative. In fact, I never expected to come back to Michigan or to come back to Detroit, because there was always kind of this assumption that opportunity was elsewhere, that it was really challenging to kind of have a career as a professional or an adult in Detroit, or that maybe it wasn't the place that, you know, someone or people would want to be. I also think it's really important to share that, you know, we are, as much as we are making progress and moving forward, and you're starting to see the narrative change, I think, nationally and maybe even globally, that there's still so much work to be done. So we have seen redevelopment in the downtown, or the 7.2, which is what we call it. That's the downtown and midtown area. But Detroit is actually about 140-ish square miles. It's a really big city, very spread out, and the neighborhoods still need a lot of attention and investment and support. And so one of the important dialogues in our city right now is how can we lift up the neighborhoods and not just focus on the downtown?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'd like to learn a bit more about is if you could just describe the Challenge Detroit, the actual mechanics of the program, because what I've seen is really interesting that the program seems to embody what you just described, the intent to have impact throughout the city, not just the 7 square miles of downtown. Could you maybe describe what that program actually looks like and how that relates to the intent on citywide and distributed neighborhood-based impacts?
Yeah, absolutely. So the kind of nuts and bolts of what our program actually looks like is it is a professional fellowship program. So we really wanted to create jobs. So job creation is a very important need in the city. And so we looked at how could we partner with companies in Detroit that might be interested in providing jobs or creating jobs for emerging leaders in the city. So we partner with companies in Detroit, and it's intentionally all kinds of companies. So we have large companies like the auto, so General Motors. We have law firms. We have DTE Energy, which is the major utilities company in the city. We partner with architecture firms, marketing companies, all different kinds of companies, and they provide a one-year job contract for a fellow that participates in this program. We also partner with nonprofit organizations, and we partner with them because we want to collaborate when we make an impact. So we really thought about, you know, if we want to make an impact, what is the biggest lever, or how can we do the most? And we realized very quickly that it would be much more effective to partner with and support nonprofits that are in the city and in the community and in the neighborhoods, doing really critical work with amazing missions. And if we could bring innovation and amplify and support their capacity, then we would be able to achieve more impact in this really collaborative way. So if you are in our program, the one-year job experience includes the companies sponsoring your time one day a week to work in the community with nonprofits. So it's this really innovative cross-sector partnership model. And so one day a week, all of our fellows from these different companies with these different backgrounds and skill sets come together, and we partner on projects with nonprofits. And we use a human-centered design approach.
Human-centered design is a creative design process that starts with building empathy for the people you're designing for and ends with new solutions that are tailor-made to suit the needs of these people.
That is really important to us because we want to really listen and learn from the communities that we are helping these nonprofits to support. So it's a huge learning opportunity for these emerging professionals that participate. And the hope is that at the end of 1 year, that these fellows will continue their career in the city, and either they'll stay on with their host employer, their host company, or they may find another opportunity, another job through the network and the community that they've built in 1 year. And then, of course, we're very focused on this impact piece. And so in 1 year, we do about 5 projects with 5 different nonprofits. And those are very neighborhood focused. So circling back to your question about how are we supporting that need, we partner with a variety of nonprofits that are working on different urban and social issues in the city. So that ranges from homelessness to education to land use to entrepreneurship to the role of art and culture in communities. And we partner with these different nonprofits, and we really look at where they are and who they serve. And so the majority of the nonprofits that we support are doing work in neighborhoods, and that's really our goal, is to be part of the really important work that is investing and supporting the neighborhoods of our city.
You're listening to 360 Degree City. Today, John is talking to Shelley Danner about Challenge Detroit, an organization in Detroit that works to cultivate local leadership.
Can you talk about the qualities of leadership that you're trying to instill in your fellows? I think one of the things that's so encouraging about Challenge Detroit is, as you pointed out, it's not a particular focus, homelessness or land use or culture. It does recognize the complexity of what it takes to make a city. And so in that context, what kind of leadership qualities do you hope or do you design for your fellows to be instilled in them so that they can be effective, dynamic urban leaders going forward?
I love what you said about, you know, appreciating the complexity of cities. And that is absolutely what we are hoping to foster an awareness of in our leaders. So our mission is to develop community-minded leaders. And that is really important to us because we know that cities are complex and that all of these urban and social issues and topics, their needs and opportunities in our city, and they all interconnect. And how valuable would it be early on in your career to really understand that in a firsthand way? So yes, you can go to university and study these different topics, but when you're actually working in a city and you have the opportunity to learn and contribute in these different areas with different organizations, different nonprofits, in 1 year, you get such rich context and you start to see how these topics and issues and opportunities overlap and connect. And so it's a really unique experience, but it's something that I'm very passionate about because I think that if we have professionals in our workforce who are more connected to their city and to their communities and to the neighborhoods and to the actual issues that residents and all kinds of people face on a daily basis, I think that we are going to have more compassionate leaders. I think we are also going to be able to, and slowly over time, right? This is certainly the long game, but we're going to start to see decision makers in corporations and companies that are making decisions and influencing maybe even policy that are going to be more positive and truly beneficial to the communities that they're working and based in. So it's a very holistic approach to leadership, but it is really acknowledging that there is so much to learn about our communities and about our cities, and that I believe is a really important piece of leadership.
That's really, really encouraging. One of the things that I've observed in our work at Intelligent Futures is, I don't know if it's a trend overall, but this idea of almost, we call it a vending machine approach to local government, where everything gets boiled down to the taxpayer instead of the citizen. And so the taxpayer says, I've paid my money, I pull the lever and I get what I want. And so that's just a transaction. And what you're describing, I think, is completely necessary in all of our cities to build more big picture thinkers, regardless of if they have an official position at City Hall, so to speak, that there's positive influence that can be made in all kinds of sectors, whether that's sectors of the economy or sectors of work, whether it's culture, society, built environment, all those kinds of things. So that's kudos to the complexity, building in the complexity and the community mindedness. That's I think a really great model that a lot of other cities can take. One of the things I'd like to get is just, can you tell me a story, a great success story of an individual or an impact that your program has had in a community through your time at Challenge Detroit?
Sure, absolutely. I can hopefully share a couple of quick stories. So we are in our sixth year of running our very small nonprofit, and we now have over 150 alumni. So one of our alumni came into the program, and he was placed at the United Way of Southeastern Michigan, which is headquartered in Detroit. So at the end of his year, he continued on at the United Way, and then he was actually given the opportunity to become the executive director of a nonprofit here in the city. So this alumni, his name is Zeke, he was living in one of the neighborhoods in Detroit and got really involved in his community and his church. And he is one of the youngest executive directors of a nonprofit in Detroit. It's a community development organization, the Mack Avenue Community Development nonprofit, and they do a lot of work supporting the East Side neighborhoods that they're based in. They have community programs. They're building out some buildings. They do mentoring, literacy programs, tutoring, and also sports programs for youth in the neighborhood. And something that's really exciting is we really believe in continuing to support our alumni in a variety of ways. And one is partnering with nonprofits if we have alumni working in any. And so we were able to partner with Zeke and do a project with Mack Development. And that was such a great opportunity for our next cohort of fellows to really get to see his leadership and to really support and amplify some of the initiatives that he was trying to kick off within his organization and in the neighborhoods on the East Side. So definitely a huge success story. And now that we have more and more alumni that have been out of the program, we have all kinds of alumni doing incredible things in really important change-making jobs in the city. Several of our alumni have started their own ventures. And even some nonprofits, they're serving on boards. There's just so many exciting ways that they are contributing. And then one really quick project example, we worked with the Coalition on Temporary Shelter. So they are working to reduce homelessness in the city. And we did a project around how might we build awareness of the services that this homeless shelter creates to hopefully compel more people to volunteer, to donate, to support this really important agency. And when our fellows were interviewing different community members, one interview stood out with someone who is actually a client of this homeless shelter. And he said something about, we're all one step away from homelessness. And that really clicked. It was like an aha moment for the team of fellows that were connecting with him, because what they realized is that if they were able to present kind of a message that would help more people relate to homelessness, they might be more motivated to give or contribute or volunteer. And so the result was creating this campaign around One Step Away. And they produced video clips and social media posts and just a whole package of marketing materials, really with this message of One Step Away. And it was extremely successful. The homeless shelter put out a fundraising appeal, and pretty immediately following the project, and in that one campaign, they raised $40,000. But they've also continued to use some of these different pieces, videos on their website, et cetera. And it really helped transform the way they shared about homelessness with this idea of One Step Away and helping people feel like they could relate better.
Thank you. That's I imagine we could have another couple of hours worth of success stories with the amount that you're out in the community and the number of alumni you have. That's amazing. One final question. We ask all of our guests, can you tell us about a city you love and why? And for you, I'm not going to let you, I usually leave it wide open, but for you, I'm not going to let you say Detroit. I'm going to force you to say somewhere else.
Fair enough. Well, goodness, it's really hard to choose just one because I love traveling. I love many cities, but if you're asking me to just pick one, I will choose Melbourne because I did live there. That is where I lived when I moved abroad. And it is such a fantastic city. I think it has over the years, it's been named like one of the top livable cities in the world. And I would certainly echo that. Just, you know, it has such a rich culture. And I really loved exploring those different neighborhoods, the parks, the museums, the riverfront, the beach, which, you know, is great. But I would definitely recommend that if anyone is interested in traveling to Australia, to not just go to Sydney, which is also very cool, but to make sure that they get to Melbourne as well.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll put a plug in for Detroit because I was there for the first time this summer. As you know, we met up for dinner and I was pretty floored by how much was going on. I was in the seven square miles of downtown, and I couldn't believe how much was going on and actually how friendly people were. I had a really phenomenal time. So I'll put the extra plug in for you. I'll kind of cheat with that question on your behalf.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to you visiting and exploring the neighborhoods next time you come back.
Me too. Okay, well, I will. I'll end it with that, and thank you so much for your time. And I guess one other question: how can folks find you to find out more about Shelley Danner and Challenge Detroit as well?
I am on LinkedIn, so you can just check me out at Shelley Danner on LinkedIn, and then please do follow along at www.challengedetroit.org. We have a great website, and we're also very active on other social media like Facebook and Twitter. You can find those links through our website.
360 Degree City is created by our team at Intelligent Futures, a firm that works at the intersection of urbanism, sustainability, engagement, and design. This week, you also heard from Cassandra Cager, our engagement lead. You can find show notes and more info about Shelley and the work of Challenge Detroit on our website at 360degree.city. We would love it if you subscribe, rate, and give us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for stopping by.